Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Well, 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 look what it is. It's the final Sports Daily of the week, and we got Mr. Scrooge himself in a Hawaiian for a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. We will be joined later in the program by TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage. We know Paul Savage will be in his Hawaiian. We're looking forward to it. I'll pretend Jad's in his because it's a day to celebrate. With great college basketball yesterday, we're looking forward to some great football. Looking forward to a lot of people's favorite holiday of the year in Thanksgiving tomorrow. Hope everybody is getting to celebrate it with family and friends or whatever it is that you do for Thanksgiving. We're glad to be here with you one more time this week. We will not have a show tomorrow or Friday. So thanks for being here with us. The IHOP hotline, it's open for you today, and it is brought to you by IHOP and their new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle limited time menu. Different kinds of French toast, the circle of cinnamon there now at IHOP, 869-1240. That is the number to call. We'll give away some HTO today as well. We got all kinds of good stuff for you. Of course, KU in action last night. We'll have Shreya Salata in next segment to talk not just about that, but to look ahead to KU football this weekend. We'll make our football picks top of the next hour. It's a great day. It's a great show. We're glad to be here. We're all festive. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. I can't tell you how stupid I feel like I look right now in what I'm wearing.
Why?
But you know what? Look, it's a Thanksgiving miracle. It's the day before the holiday. I'm rarely in on Wednesdays, so I've let you and Paul have this little weird, side thing that y'all do with Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays. I'm in today, the last show of the week. I figured, you know what, might as well throw you a bone and we'll rock a Hawaiian today.
What's the problem? Do you hate fun? I mean, what's the issue?
I hate looking bad. I hate looking stupid. But I love fun. Don't get me wrong. I love fun.
Well, I got some news for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's not the Hawaiian shirt that's gonna do you harm here.
That ship has sailed, I guess.
Yeah. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. Glad to have you with us. What a game last night. So many things. You know, we talked about K. We'll start there. KU Duke. KU gets the win. They hold them off. You know, hit the free throws late. Do all the things. It was a game we knew that Kansas would be challenged in a unique way. They weren't going to be able to lean into Hunter Dickinson in that game. They were going to have to stop one of, if not the most talented, you know, young players in the country in Cooper Flagg. And they did it. And they did it well. And until Hunter Dickinson left the game, they did it really well. Now, almost the guards, we said the guards are going to have to lead the way. Boy, did they. You know, the primary guards for KU that will be utilized this year, we think, all had 8-plus points. It was really impressive. We'll get to Hunter Dickinson's, in my opinion, stupidity in just a little bit. But all in all, you take that win because stylistically, we knew it would challenge KU to do something we still aren't quite sure they'll be able to do. And they didn't do it a ton. But they hit a high percentage of their threes, Tommy, and they got it done.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. They didn't take a ton of threes, you know, especially compared to Duke, but they made the threes that they took, and they were clutch. They were, you know, good shot selections for the most part. And so that was high level. I thought that was really, really good for the Jayhawks. Really, though, and this is something that Bill Self focused on post-game, and that I know he's going to hang his hat on, defensively, especially down the stretch, the Jayhawks played fantastic. The final couple of defensive possessions against Duke where they didn't foul, but they were able to get stops, that was massive. But then even going all the way back to the first half, the Jayhawks really locked down defensively. They made their shots, but then they also guarded really well also. And so I think that that was massive. That was major, you know, for Kansas. And they got out to double-digit leads a couple of different times in the game, primarily because they were able to get stops on the defensive end of the court.
I'm just impressed all the way around. I think if you're, you know, as we look at KU, who's been the number one team in the country, who returns all that they return, who had the recruiting class that they had. So it's you know, I don't think it's ever like national championship or bust in college basketball. I think that's silly because of the tournament they play. But as high as you can put expectations, I think we can comfortably get there with this KU team as it, you know, as it currently stands. And we thought we might have that last year, and we knew by this point, like, ooh, that's probably not going to be the case, right? And so this year, it's a lot of things, right? It's the depth, as they are, you know, at minimum 8 strong right now. I think you can go down to Coit, because I do think he's there. There will be times where they really lean into him this year. But Griffin, Badunga, both look good in that game. You have a clear allotment of minutes right now. I don't know if that's going to stay that way. I don't know if you have thoughts on that. Maybe we can ask Shreyas that too. I don't know if that allotment of minutes is what we should expect the rest of the way. I think it'll be hard to keep Griffin and Badunga to only playing 16 and 17 minutes respectively, but we'll see. It's okay right now. But it's all like pointing in the right direction. They had a game where they knew they were going to have to stop a big and shoot the threes well on the other side, and they did both of those things. And Duke will do that one thing probably better than just about anybody they play all year. And so you take that and you run with it, and you look out ahead, because there's going to be a lot of teams that KU plays where they're going to impose their will, and you know, you got to come up with an answer for Dickinson first and foremost and all of these things. That wasn't the case last night, and they still looked really good, and they came up with the big plays. On to Hunter Dickinson, Tommy. Come on, man. Like, he should have switched jerseys with that kind of play. Like, that kind of crap comes out of Duke over the years. You can't kick a dude when you're down. Like, I don't care how frustrated you are. And what's so, like, that's too big a game in too big a spot. You just, like, you cannot have that guy doing that thing in a game like that. Ridiculous.
I thought it was a terrible call. I mean, it was absolutely a flagrant one. There, it
he
absolutely
did it on purpose,
should,
though.
Well,
you can't,
I mean,
put yourself in that
I don't
position.
Know if, I don't know if you, if anybody can really judge the actual intentions behind it and if it was done intentionally or not. I think it was 1,000% a flagrant one. Was it a flagrant two that deserved an ejection from the game? I don't think so. But I do agree with you. In that spot, in that situation, you can't even be in that situation. Like, you can't even
You can't let them make that
call. You can't leave it up to the referees to make that decision on your behalf and take it, you know, basically take the game out of your hands or take whether or not you're going to be playing down the stretch out of your own hands and put it in the referee's hands. You can't, and Dickinson is an experienced enough player that he should know that. You know, that was a lapse of judgment. So regardless of whether or not he intended to kick the guy in the face or it was inadvertent or whatever it was, you can't put yourself in that situation in that kind of high leverage game at that point in the game. You just can't do it. But here's the thing. I think it's less about Hunter Dickinson and more about the other players on the team, because a year ago, let's be real frank.
Oh, for
Kansas
sure.
doesn't win that game if that happens to Dickinson at that point in the ballgame. The depth of the team and the fact that they were able to be resilient and fight off Duke down the stretch without Hunter Dickinson on the court, that tells me everything I need to know about this Jayhawks team. And, you know, it shows me that there are a lot of teams and really, honestly, a lot of Kansas teams over the years that are night and day different in November than they are in March. I'm not sure that that's this team. I think this team is great now, and I think they'll be great in March. They're resilient now. I think they'll be resilient in March. And so that was really important to me, told me a lot about the team. And honestly, even though you don't want Dickinson off the court, you don't want him in that situation, that might have ended up being one of the best things for the Jayhawks to find out more about themselves down that stretch, and maybe will propel them, you know, even more going forward.
Yeah, it's not so much the call that I'm taking issue with. It is the situation even being a thing. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in that game, because what happened, right? Cooper Flagg all of a sudden opens up.
Yeah,
Dickinson leaves the floor, and he starts making some big buckets, and it did almost cost you the game. I mean, for that guy and what he is to not just this team, but to college basketball this year, which is, you know, a Naismith contender, like, you always have to make the right decisions. Always, 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 always. And that's a big expectation, but it is what it is, right? You just, like, that's your role on the team. You cannot make those kinds of mistakes in a game at any point. Now, it's November 26th, right? If things go sideways and Kansas loses that game, we would be annoyed, but it doesn't change the fact that we like the way that they were able to play that game stylistically. Right. So it's not the end of the world. It's not like this happened in a tournament game or something. So it's not that big a deal. You just, like, you can't have that. You cannot have that. And the other problem with it happening now is, and we know this in college basketball, and, you know, we expect officials to be robots. Officials are not robots. There will be, you help a narrative be created that Dickinson's kind of a dirty player. And he already had that to some degree. And so, like, you don't want that in an official's head either.
Yeah, I think that's unfair.
I'm not saying he is, and it is unfair. It's totally unfair. Yeah. It's ridiculous, but it is what it is. And all the Kansas haters out there, and there are lots of them now, will begin to feed that narrative.
The difference is that they're playing Duke in that game when Duke has, you know, a long-standing history of having dirty
players. That's what I mean. They should have said that was a Duke play.
But had it been against another team, I think it would have been more in the spotlight. I think because it happened against Duke, everybody's like, well, yeah, Duke kind of gets, you know, what they deserve a little bit, because they do it all the time, or at least they have historically. So I think it blows over. I don't think it's a big deal. I thought the call was weak. Like I said before, absolutely should have been a flagrant one.
I'm being dead serious here. I was in a room full of people last night. Every single one of them thought he was getting tossed as soon as the replay happened. So I'm not here to say it was a flagrant one or a flagrant two or anything like that. That's not the point that bugs me. The point that bugs me is you cannot put yourself in that position anyway. But I do think like four or five people that were around, like every single person. Yeah, he's going to get tossed for that. And initially I was like, really? You think? I don't. And he did. And I'm like, okay, well, so you just don't do that anymore. Like, let that be the last time. And this is a good time for that to happen. And I'll ask Sri, it's like, because I haven't gone back. It was such a late finish. I haven't listened to the post game or gone through all that stuff. So I'm curious to see what the team had to say about it after the game. We'll ask Shreyas next as he joins us for his regular weekly visit, our KU insider. He's going to talk KU football this weekend as well. Boy, it's kind of all on the line here, isn't it? For KU, the football team this weekend, it's a busy time for them. It's a busy time for us all. I say next, it's bottom of the hour for Shreyas. So we'll get to Shreyas and all of that as we return. Don't go away. We're going to come back We have all kinds of stuff. We're gonna get dig in the second hour as far as picks with the Chiefs, but let's look at the Chiefs. Steve Spagnuolo talked yesterday. Let's look at Chiefs Raiders, kind of an early look to Black Friday football when we return. It's a jam-packed Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Last show of the week, everybody. Tune in, chime in, I should say, however it is that you want. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. Thanks to Tommy for participating in the wonderful tradition of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. We'll be right back. On your way to work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can download the show in podcasted form. We know a lot of people are doing that. We appreciate it. Thanks for being here with us as we get you ready for a long weekend of sports. Essentially, it's what are we creating then? A four-day weekend of sports. We've got college basketball, college football, NFL all over the next 4 days. So we'll get you all ready for it. We'll make some picks next segment. Shreyas Lada joining us in just a little bit at the bottom of the hour. So Tommy, real quick before we get into picks, the Raiders game. You know, I think the expectation is we still see Pacheco and maybe a Minshew this weekend. Haven't heard anything to take us off of that. Pacheco was kind of a late scratch last week. You know, there was initial thought he could go. He's a full participant in practice, as is a Minshew yesterday. Normally that makes you think, okay, they're going to play. And then, you know, they kind of pulled the wool out from under us last week. So I guess we'll see it when we see it.
Yeah.
That'll help.
Yeah. It looks like both of them are at least on track to play.
But they were, at least Pacheco was on track last week too. And I'm like, okay, like I know it's Carolina and maybe you're trying to hold him back, but after what we saw in Carolina, like let's not hold anything back here. Let's go ahead and get him out there. Now let him play in a limited capacity, right? Like let him start the game. Let him have, I don't know, 9-10 carries, ease him back into it. That's fine, but you might need him. So you might as well suit him up.
Yeah. I think that really the good thing with Pacheco at least, and the running game with Kansas City is that I don't feel like you absolutely have to push him to get him back. Minshew's a little bit of a different story because the pass rush has been such an issue. If it were me and I'm ranking urgency on getting these guys back, for me, it's a Minshew number one and Pacheco number two.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. I just like I hope a Minshew comes in and we heard from Spagnuolo, and Spags was more about, you know, his frustration seemed to be that they couldn't get off the field on those third downs. So he was sort of kind of like isolating it to the third down plays and the fourth down play that they didn't get off the field as what he felt like they should have done a better job of. And so he's right. And we know the pass rush needs to get better. I mean, it's interesting what will happen with the Minshew, because I guess Uche just steps up because you're not going to take Karloftis off the field.
No, you can't do that.
Right? So, I
did notice, and I don't know if you looked this up, but at least last week, and I know it's been trending down over the last few weeks, Felix Anudike Uzama is getting fewer and fewer snap counts as the week goes on. In fact, I don't remember the exact number in the Panthers game, but I want to say it was like less than 20% of the defensive snaps he was on the field. That's not the way it was in week one, week two. You know,
right.
It's progressively gotten lower and lower.
Yeah, it's been a tough go of it for him. But I mean, Hugh, look, you're talking about a guy who had 7 sacks in 11 games last year. It'll be nice to at least get him in the rotation. Right, get him in there, rotate him in however it's going to happen. Somebody has to get some pass rush. It just doesn't make a lot of sense that they're not getting any from Jones and Karloftis at this point. Like, I don't know why that's happened. I can't figure that out. What teams are doing to take them away or whatever it is. And I guess it brings up the bigger question of, like, at some point, do we expect the defense to be more like it was early in the year? Or is it going to be more like it has been lately? I honestly don't know what I think.
I think it's
going to
be more like it's been lately. I think really the only thing,
big problem,
I think the only thing that can really be improved again is the pass rush. If they can figure out a way to get Chris Jones loose and be able to get more pressure off the edge. Well, it doesn't, because I mean, it does at least in the terms of the pass rush. The secondary is not going to get any better.
But every secondary is going to get cooked if there's no pass rush.
I understand that. You can put the secondary in better situations, and that's good. But the talent level of the secondary is not going to get any better between now and the end of the year. They've lost Jalen Watson. Just watching the way that Nazi Johnson and Chamari Connor, I mean, they're trying really hard, but there's a deficiency there with those guys. Brian Cook really hasn't done a whole lot over the last few weeks. And Trent McDuffie, the lion's share of the secondary's burden is on his shoulders. And while he is great, he's not able to be in four places at once, right? So the talent level of the secondary is not going to get any better. I think that if you can improve the pressure that you get on the quarterbacks, that can help put the secondary in better situations. But it's not like that talent level is getting any better between now and the end of the year.
There's no question, though, that they'll play better if they're not constantly being put in bad situations, which they are right now. Like, not only, yes, have you had an injury issue and all these things, but right now, like, there isn't a secondary in the world that will find success usually without some sort of pressure on a quarterback. I mean, guys eventually are going to get open. And so that's why the Chiefs are having to predictably blitz more. And I think teams are handling that better and all of these things. So we'll see. Spags, the other thing Spags did was give a lot of credit to Bryce Young. And that was that he opened. He said, honestly, like he was really good against us. And he was. He's playing better, but they're going to play much better quarterbacks than him in the postseason. They will not play a much better quarterback against the Raiders on Black Friday. And, you know, that's what we'll watch for. As we get into that game, and we'll pick it. It is a massive spread. And I still, as we sit here, you know, a half hour before we make those picks, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this game. None. No idea how to pick that game. But it'll be just one of six. We'll do those picks coming up top of the next hour. We should have Shreyas Lada coming here in just a few minutes. So we'll have that. We'll talk about the KU Duke game. We'll talk about the KU Baylor game coming up this weekend. Is it's like a playoff game for KU. I think you can think of it that way. They got to go win in a place they never do, and they got to go win if they want to play in a bowl game. So it's all out there. It's kind of a fun set of circumstances for KU football this weekend, but we'll get into all that with our KU insider Shreyas Lada when we return. It's a Wednesday. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. We appreciate you being with us, and we'll be right back.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Lada.
And welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Big day tomorrow, of course. Hope everybody's able to celebrate and have fun. We bring in Shreyas Lada here. We got a lot to talk about. We got a big football game coming up this weekend. We had a big basketball game last night. Shreyas, KU gets it done against Duke. You know, I know how you feel about KU's need to shoot the three. There's not a team that was going to force them to do that, likely more than Duke was going to last night. They did. KU hit a high percentage of them. It was good enough. Got to think you're pretty happy about the way KU played, because stylistically, that was a really, really interesting matchup going in.
Yeah, I think it was a phenomenal kind of game plan on both ends of the court for KU basketball. I think they did a really good job of, you know, when the guys who don't score, KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, they stepped up, because it felt like Duke was essentially saying, Hunter Dickinson is not going to beat us. AJ Storr is not going to beat us. But DeJuan Harris, and if KJ Adams beat us, that's fine. And that's why Duke's defense is so, so good. And as we saw, Hunter was struggling throughout most of the game before his ejection. And KJ did KJ Adams things, including making four jump shots, which I don't think I've seen him make four jump shots since I've joined the KUB. I think that was the best I've seen his jumper look ever. He was phenomenal on the other end. I wrote a whole story about it, but, you know, I called it the Cooper Flag rules, a kind of reference to the Jordan rules. And it's fascinating how good KU was on defense against Cooper Flag and that Duke squad. And I mean, he just looked uncomfortable. He had 2 points at the halftime on two shots. He ended up 13 points, five rebounds, three assists, and four turnovers. I knew going in that I thought KU would have a good chance against Cooper Flag, because KJ is such a great defender, but he has the strength on a freshman guard that is 17 years old. It's one of those games that I bet you Cooper Flag's going to say, hey, I'm going to look back on this tape, and this is the thing I'm going to grow from for the rest of the season. And when I'm playing the NBA, this is how I'm going to, you know, identify how to play against defenders who are stronger, bigger, better than me. He's 17 years old, but, you know, KU put the book out on how to beat Cooper Flagg. The issue is most college basketball teams don't have a KJ Adams.
Yeah, he's a unicorn. I mean, he is, and he was awesome last night. Hunter Dickinson made a big mistake. I have not listened to post game yet. I haven't gone through that with the late finish. What was the vibe? Because to me, it was a really stupid play on his part. But Tommy didn't like the call, and a lot of people didn't like the call. I get all that, but I just feel like he can't put himself in that position. Did he talk after the game? What was Bill Self saying about that situation? Because you just can't do that in that spot.
No, Hunter didn't talk after the game, but Bill Self said that he felt like he deserved at least a flagrant one. He said it's a coin flip decision between a one or two. He didn't think it was quite a two, but he understood it. You know, I think he got the idea. I think initially, as you saw in the reaction that Bill Self had during the game, he said he saw it on the screen, which I don't understand. Apparently the score wasn't showing or whatever in the arena, which is so weird to me. But he saw it on the screen above, and you could see him kind of protest, which makes sense. But I think after looking at it again and kind of having the benefit of foresight of kind of seeing how everything played out, it seems like he was absolutely clearly deserved at least a flagrant one. You know, we can argue semantics between one and two. I don't think he's not going to get suspended because it's up to KU at this point.
Yeah.
That's not a worry of mine, but I thought it was an incredibly stupid play by Hunter Dickinson, by a guy who was 24 years old, and there's no reason for that. You know, they need him out there, and they barely hung on because they don't have the offense to kind of keep him going against a team like Duke consistently.
Well, I think the bottom line, Sharius, is that a year ago, Kansas wouldn't have won that game had that happened to Hunter Dickinson. They did not have the depth. They did not have the personnel to be able to sort of pick up the slack. And I think although it was a bad situation, Dickinson, I agree, shouldn't have put himself in that position to begin with. I didn't agree that he should have been ejected, but still, you can't be in that kind of situation with the experience that you have. That's not the right place to be in. I do think that could actually be important for the Jayhawks moving forward because they still won that game without him. We've known how talented Kansas is. I'm not sure that we knew until last night how resilient this Jayhawks squad is and the fact that they were able to pick up the slack with the guard play, making the shots, and then really, most importantly, defensively down the stretch in those final couple of defensive possessions. Those were huge, all without Dickinson on the court.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Flory played a phenomenal game. I've been as high on Flory Badunga as I think anybody on the KU beat, and with good reason. I think he's a archetype that Kansas has lacked for years—a rim-running big man that can play above, you know, the rim. And he's just phenomenal to watch. I mean, he had great defense in closing moments. That KJ Adams and Flory tandem defense in, like, I think the 15 seconds left where Duke turned over the ball was really, really good. Playing defense without fouling, getting crucial rebounds. I think he ended up with 8 rebounds in the game. I was really impressed by his poise. But on top of that, you know, you have guys stepping up like Rylan Griffin in key moments, making tough shots time and time again. KJ Adams putting together, you know, positions where Kansas can come out there and score because of key rebounds. I thought it was a really impressive win because to me, it showed that this Kansas team is equipped to deal with disaster. And disaster is Hunter Dickinson, their best offensive player, or at least their easiest offense on the court, is just dump it down low and let him go to work. He was gone against the best defensive team in the nation coming into the game. And you could see how good they are defensively. Like Duke, talent-wise, I think is probably the most talented team in the nation. I think it's just Bill Self coach circles around, you know, the Duke coach. And I think that's just, you know, a little bit of Bill Self's, you know, expertise. And I was very impressed with Kansas after last night's win.
I think that's fair. So let's stack it up against last year and all the things that KU struggled with. The depth looks better. The 3-point shooting certainly looks better. Do you think we're seeing things settle into what we'll see for the entire season? Or do you still envision Griffin and Badunga and Coit maybe growing, probably more Griffin and Badunga growing those roles a little bit? And, I mean, are we looking at the 7 or 8 guys that we're going to see all year? Anybody else have a chance to play their way into the rotation?
I don't think there's a ton of people that could really play their way. I mean, I guess maybe Shaquille Moore, because he's a good defensive guard. He could this team, but it seems like he's out indefinitely with the injury that he has. I'm very curious to see what happens with him, but I think the rotation could be, you could be kind of interchangeably have AJ Story and Riley Griffin in that starting lineup, depending on who they're playing. I think AJ did a really good job last night after a little bit of a tough start, that turnover and a missed shot, but he kind of got it together. And Riley had a really bad first half. If you remember that shot he took, which was, to me, was just incredibly dumb of a decision, because you're a guy that's been on an Alabama Final Four team. You're taking a transition three with 18 seconds left. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you should know better. And he went out there in the second half and he shut down everybody, including me, and did a really good job of making key shots, doing a good job of keeping Cave's offense alive. And I really think we haven't seen the best version of Riley Griffin, AJ Storr, Diggy Hoyt, or Floyd Badunga for this Kansas team. And to me, that is especially really scary for college basketball. I don't know if all of them are going to be clicking at the same time. Maybe they'll have different spurts throughout the season. But I think, you know, there is a lot more we can get out of them, that Kansas can get out of them this coming year.
DeJuan Harris, Shreyas, led all KU scorers with 14 points. He added 9 assists, so 1 assist.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just away from a double-double. But he's not, you know, he's not the big playmaker that the other guys are, you know, especially guys like Griffin and Storr and Mayo. But he's just the model of consistency. And he's somebody that, with that veteran experience, I've been way impressed watching him through the first few games of this season as the kind of that general of the team and that veteran leader that Bill Self always likes to have. And I think that in a big spot like last night against Duke, I mean, he showed why he is the leader of this team.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I think DeJuan has played pretty well to start the season. I think he's kind of played his spots of when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive in offense. He talks about it where he's differential because his offense is so loaded. But I think he felt it, you know, in that moment against Duke that he had to play aggressive basketball on the offensive end. He had to look for a shot. He had to take shots. I am very impressed with DeJuan's ability to kind of pick his spots. I think 2 years ago, he wasn't quite as good at that. And I don't think he was even good at that as last year. You know, he had moments where he could put the offense on, but I feel like this year, he just knows when to kind of press the gas a little bit. And I think that is going to be a really big thing for Kansas when they have these kind of scoring droughts or maybe games where AJ Storr and Hunter Dickinson are not really playing up to their capabilities. Like we saw last night, I think Hunter really was not that good. AJ was pretty good, but Hunter probably played his worst game of the year, I think.
Which was predictable a little bit, right? That's why we liked this matchup, because we knew Duke could do that. Like, and they'll do it better than most teams can, but they're big, right? Like that's the kind of team that's going to be able to take Hunter out. I want to talk about, I know you guys brought up KJ Adams. I want to go back to it and just like curiously, do you think there's a world where, and we've kind of seen, like, I feel like we saw it a little bit with maybe like Marcus Garrett. Do you think KJ could become the kind of defender where they just say, you know what, just go guard their best player, outside of that being like a point guard? But in general, like, if, you know, otherwise, could they just use him that way?
I think that's what they do, to be honest with you. I mean, DeJuan talks about it. They switch 1 through 4 with him. You know, 2 years ago, he was playing center as a 6'6", 6'7" guy. I think he is so invaluable for this KU team. I think Kansas fans, their, you know, the debate of whether he should be in the starting lineup, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. The moment you tell me the KJ Adams should not be in the starting lineup is the moment I discount your basketball opinions. No disrespect whatsoever, but that is one thing I just don't disagree with. I've been a fervent KJ Adams is a very important player for this Kansas team, a very important player for the last 2 years, Kansas teams. People want to focus on the rebounding. Sure, he can be better on that end. People want to score in the scoring. I don't care. He's not your first scorer, your second scorer. He's your third or fourth. Last year, he averaged 13 points per game. He's averaging 8.5 this game, this year. He can be a little better on the scoring end, but he's not looking for a shot because this defense or this offense is loaded. I think what KJ Adams does well is something that nobody else on this Kansas team can do. He can guard guards. He can guard bigs. He can guard the forwards. Who can do that on this Kansas team? Nobody else. He can play, be a secondary creator on offense because his offense, his passing ability is really, really nice. He has great energy. He's a hustle guy. I just don't understand. It's unfathomable to me that KJ Adams is not looked at as the second or third most valuable player on the court for Kansas. I think if you had if you had taken off Hunter Dickinson off his team and you replaced him with a wing or a comparable big man, I think KU would be worse off than if you took off KJ Adams off this team and, you know, replaced him with a normal four man or whatever. I really think that because I think there's so much he does that doesn't show up on the box score. And I'm so kind of enamored by his talent that I think he's an NBA guy. He's like Draymond Light. If he can have any semblance of a jump shot, why don't you put him in the NBA and just say, go out there and be a bulldog for like 25, 15 minutes a game? You know, like he can be that guy. The rebounding thing is going to be the biggest conundrum with him, but I think it won't matter in the end because Kansas is so talented across the board. And if they can do a better job with group rebounding, I think it kind of disqualifies how much that's going to matter. I think that's this thing that people love talking about. I personally don't care. I don't care about the jump shooting either. I think it's a bonus if he hits jump shots, but I really, really think he's going to be such a weapon for this Kansas team on the defensive end this year, like he's been the last few years.
Let's talk football, Sharius. 3 weeks in a row, 3 ranked opponents, 3 wins for the Jayhawks. They're 1 win away from a bowl game. Which when they were 1-5 or 2-6, you know, that was, I think, so far out of the mindset of just about everybody. But here they are knocking on the door with the road trip to Waco this weekend against Baylor with an opportunity to make it to a bowl game. I certainly didn't see this coming. I thought that they would continue to improve. But I, you know, winning the way that they have against Iowa State and BYU and then Colorado at Arrowhead, I mean, it's been a wild couple of weeks for the Jayhawks.
It's been absolutely nuts. And as somebody who had them winning 11 games, it's absolutely frustrating that it's happening now because I'm now like, well, you know, selfishly, I don't love the idea of being in Birmingham or wherever for Christmas, you know, after thinking I'd be in Arlington this time, August. Sure. You know, but I've been really impressed with them. I think it's one of those things that people love to talk about the Big 12 and the conference. I'm an SEC guy. I went to Georgia. I get it. But this conference is so fascinating where it's wide open. And it makes – you can see that with the way Kansas is playing. They can go out there and beat anybody. They have the talent to beat anybody on any given Saturday. And I think you go in and they go out there and do the improbable. 3 straight games, ranked opponents, they defeat them. Now you're looking at, well, maybe they can beat this Baylor team. Like, to me, it's like, I didn't believe it until the Colorado game happened. I think I was a little skeptical of what KU was and what it could be. But they came out there and they made Shador Sanders and Colorado and Travis Hunter look ordinary. The least amount of points he scored all season was 21. Kansas did that. The defense wasn't particularly good, but they showed up in the moments that mattered. And I think that's what the difference between this Kansas team right now is between the moments before is they wouldn't show up in those key moments. They've shown up in these key moments. They seem to figure it out. And I feel if I was a Kansas fan, I'd feel good about this team going to Waco. They've never beaten Baylor in Waco before. They're 0-10. It's a tough place for Kansas to play. But I think Kansas has a great shot to come out there with at least a win or at least a close game. And I really am curious to kind of see how it plays out because Baylor's pretty talented and balanced across the board. I think they're averaging 40 points per game in the last 5. It's going to be a fun matchup Saturday.
It's going to be tragic if they don't win that game. Like, for real. Like, honestly, like, it almost feels like the pressure's back on now, like it was early in the year. If they get all the way to this point and can't go to Waco and beat Baylor, it's going to be a tragedy. Like, it will be so sad, I think, for everybody involved if they're not at this point now playing in a bowl game. I don't know. I mean, Kansas, and that's the thing. Like, Kansas is talented enough in this league that legitimately, if they play the way that they should be able to impose their will on anybody. They just did it against Colorado. Like, why can't they do it against Baylor? I think it's all KU this weekend. They have everything's on the line for them, and they've reestablished how talented they are.
Yeah, I kind of agree. You know, like, there's a lot on the line because you have guys who are leaving. What, there's 30 guys leaving or seniors, potentially 15 or 16 starters. Like, you don't know what's happening with Jalen Daniels. He's staying. Is he going? We have no idea where, if he's even entered the transfer portal. Is he going to the NFL? There's so much for this Kansas team that, to me, if momentum is a real thing in sports, which I believe it is, I know that's on the debate all the time, it just feels like it's impossible to topple the momentum that Kansas has right now. I don't care that Baylor's won 5 straight. Kansas won 3 straight versus ranked opponents, and arguably they're the most, or up there, talent-wise with anybody in the Big 12. This is the team that I thought they would be when I had them going 11-1. And I'm going to be thinking about this Kansas team for the rest of my life, because I'd be like, man, I really should be covering this team in Arlington, you know, in December or whatever, and covering a potential college football playoff squad. I mean, this conference was wide open, and I think Kansas players are going to be thinking about this thing forever too, and the coaching staff, because this was the year for Kansas to do the improbable. And next year is going to be, I think, an interesting year filled with a lot of rebuilding with the transfer portal and the class they got coming in. So right now, you have to end the season with a win against Baylor. And then wherever you play, it doesn't really matter. You've already done something that nobody thought was possible 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm being unfair to Baylor. I mean, some of those wins in those 5 are good, but I don't even care just because I'm with you. Like, Kansas is clearly one of the most talented teams in this league, and they're finally playing better. So we'll see. That game's this weekend. Trius, what do you have going for? I know it's a busy time. What all do you have up at the KC Star right now?
Yeah, I have a big story on how Kansas shut down KJ Adams. Or sorry, not KJ. KJ Adams and Kansas shut down Cooper Flagg. I called it the Cooper Flagg rules, kind of in the reference, a little tongue-in-cheek reference to the Jordan rules. Kind of broke down the tape there. I'll have a breakdown of Kansas versus Baylor with former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley talking about it. I know he's excited about that too. And a lot of Duke Kansas stuff on the website, from the ejection stuff to the takeaways. It's been a busy couple of days. I'm hoping to recharge tonight and tomorrow and get back to it, getting back to Kansas on Friday morning. Should be a fun one.
Such a fun game last night. Trius, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. We'll have a lot to talk about next week too, because we'll know if KU's going bowling and we can start to guess at some of that kind of stuff and get ready for the college basketball season to ramp up even more. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. You guys as well. Thank you.
There goes Trius Lotta. Tommy, I joked yesterday. It felt like a Sweet 16 lineup in the top 25 yesterday of college basketball. Is what, like, if you just looked at it, I think there were 8 games and they all felt like they could be. Creighton goes down.
Yeah.
UConn goes down again. A&M goes down. Alabama beats Houston in an overtime thriller. Iowa State survives against Dayton. Like, Auburn beats North Carolina in the late game. Like, it felt like we were watching the Sweet 16 last night.
My wife and I were watching the KU game, and it got over with. And then she saw the Auburn North Carolina players warming up out in Maui. She was like, wait, there's another game? What time does this game start? I'm like, well, they're in Maui. Like, it's a late game. This is feast week. 10? It's what we do.
Yeah, it was so good. Man, it was good. It was good across the board. And it filled your cup in so many ways. Like, the villain Dan Hurley loses again. Like, all these different things that just kind of get you fired up as a college basketball fan. It was so cool. All right, let's make some picks when we return. We've got the gang coming back. On the way out, let's give away some HTO. You can win a free iced tea. You can win a free Reign coffee, iced or hot. One of each of those, by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. While you're in today, if you swing by, make sure you grab your gallons. The store will be closed on Thursday. So make sure you get in there and get those gallons if you're looking for it for Thanksgiving. You can enter this contest once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. We're coming back. We're making football picks. Don't go away. Sports Daily, hour number two, coming your way.